I think the majority of us here in Canada and probably some other places around the world as well are still kind of reeling from the news that happened in Tumbler Ridge, BC. It is, if you haven't read about or seen, and I'm not sure how that's possible, but of course, 8 people were dead, including the shooter, at a school shooting. And it has, as a parent, it has affected me considerably, as most of these types of tragedies do. As a Canadian, it's kind of made me a little disappointed and a little sad for a variety of reasons. But I just want to say on behalf of the podcast, which seems silly to say, but it's true, myself and Lisa, that our thoughts and love go to the families of the people that were affected by the shooting. It's a terrible, terrible thing.
It's been a heavy week, so we just want to let you know that our thoughts are with the people of Tumbler Ridge.
Welcome to Politics is Broken with Brittle Starr and Lisa B. Canadian and global politics unspun. Are you sitting comfortably? Good. Then we'll begin.
Well, hi there. Welcome to Politics is Broken. My name is Brittle Starr.
My name is Lisa.
It has been a heavy week here in Canada. As we started off the show, of course, telling you about the school shooting, the mass shooting in Tumbler Ridge, BC. And a couple things that transpired in the wake of that tragedy. Some have been very disappointing and others have been a little heartening. Not saying that I think it was worthwhile. It's certainly nothing's worth losing the life of a child, or anyone for that matter. But there was reasons to feel disappointed, reasons to feel a little bit heartened. So we're going to talk about that kind of stuff. But one of the things that pops up to me is in these types of tragedies, as a Canadian, especially shooting tragedies, is that we kind of get a little bit smug in Canada. We kind of get a little bit, you know, this doesn't happen here. This is a total anomaly. This doesn't happen here. And it largely, statistically, is an anomaly compared to our neighbors to the south, the USA. However, I wanted us to talk about, first of all, we can talk about the aftermath of the tragedy in Tumbler Ridge, and then also just talk about the whole notion, is Canada actually quantifiably better than the US? And we can look at some of those numbers, we can talk about stuff like that. But I mean, I don't know about you, Lisa, but it was, it's heartbreaking. I was watching some stuff this morning about the vigil where all the federal leaders got together and went to Tumbler Ridge, and it was hard not to well up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I had never heard of Tumbler Ridge. I'm sure most of us hadn't heard of Tumbler Ridge, right? and as things were happening, you know, I think it's not something that we are used to in Canada. These tragic events so close to home are few and far between, thankfully, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think when they do happen or are occurring, we have this complete dissonance as Canadians that this is happening. And then because of that, a whole bunch of other things ensue thereafter. But yeah, it was, I think it was shocking for a lot of people. And, you know, as things are happening, I mean, that night, you know, we saw a lot of information flying around, some accurate, some inaccurate. And then, you know, over the last few days, we've seen some, I don't want to say positives because it's not positive, but I've seen things that I was surprised at. Mm-hmm. Pleasantly surprised at. It's such a hard thing to talk about, you know,
it is.
Like it's just, but you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about it. It's unimaginable.
I think just to sort of underscore that difference that Canadians feel compared to Americans is that I remember, you know, the tragedy at Sandy Hook with all the kids that were killed there. And I remember being tremendously, overwhelmingly affected by that event. I was online. It was, I think, I was just, you know, incredibly angry that it had happened, and then incredibly disappointed that nothing happened after that. I remember Obama saying, this can't happen. This can't keep happening. And it just did. It just did. It does to this day, which is horrendous. I doubt it would come to as a surprise to many people, but I'm not a fan of guns. I think that humans are too stupid to have guns. I think it's Ricky Gervais says, sure, I'm in favor of everyone having a gun. Let's give them a bomb as well. Mm-hmm. Not that we should live our lives, Ricky Gervais, but it's a very valid point. It's like, there's a reason that we don't have bombs. It's because they're dangerous and they can hurt other people, even if you're the carefulest bomb owner on the block.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, when the Sandy Hook thing happened, and it was horrendous and it was awful and it affected me. Obviously this is nothing compared to the families that were involved. But from a complete stranger like myself to the situation and to be in a different country, I was affected for over a week. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking at the time, I can't post any content on days that are mass shootings. I can't post a silly video if there's been a mass shooting. And then I quickly realized when it came to America that was pretty much every day. And that is incredibly disheartening, incredibly awful. And I hope Canada never gets to that situation whatsoever. But I think we have to be vigilant. We have to be careful that we're not going to slide into that same trap that the U.S. is in.
Well, and I think that's why it's so shocking, because it doesn't happen here very often. And I can only imagine... because it's so prolific in the U.S., I don't know if there's just a numbness to it. Like, it's like, okay, well, it doesn't even, some don't even make the news because it's so commonplace, right? And then, generally when there's one that hits the news and there's devastation and loss of life, then, instead of focusing on what we should be focusing on, they're the arguments about it's the guns, and it's not the guns, it's the people, and then that overshadows the actual tragedy, which we did see happen here, which was disappointing for a lot of reasons, and I don't know if that's a psychological thing that people go through to try and either justify or rationalize or deal with it. I would like to think that we would never be numb to those kinds of things here. We have seen them in the recent past, right? Not school per se, but and I feel, I know personally, just like you said, it impacts you, right? And there's this like I've been watching the news since Thursday, right? Like just any little piece, like we want information to try and piece together to figure out the whys and the hows, and we want to know every little detail, and maybe that is to try and give us some sense of understanding and maybe some peace. And I remember Sandy Hook, and I remember watching CNN constantly, right, to try and get every little piece of information. And then we saw some really ugly things happen right after that, right, with media, social media. And I thought I thought Sandy Hook would be the one where the U.S. would give their heads a shake. Right. And try to make things better. But the status quo. Right.
Yeah. I look, Australia, of course, had a mass shooting recently. And I don't know what's transpired since then. And I apologize for not knowing that offhand. But I know that they're taking steps immediately to look at gun laws, look at what's happening, and how did this possibly happen? And you're right. I think that when these types of tragedies happen, people look for any kind of reason they can to explain why it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because the act, if an act is entirely, a tragic act is entirely random, that is terrifying. That is absolutely terrifying, because it means there's nothing you could do to stop it. So we always look for, and I think wisely as a society, we look for reasons like why did this happen? How can we, tackle the root of the problem so it doesn't get like this ever again?
Mm-hmm.
I was so disheartened and so angry at independent MLA Tara Armstrong's post on social, where she, to paraphrase, stated that this was sort of indicative of transgender violence because the shooter allegedly was transgender. And it made me super angry for lots of reasons. One is I cannot stand the fuckwittery of people who say, this happened, I'm blaming everybody else who's not involved of a group. Mm-hmm. That's not it. That's not how you solve problems. That's not how you make things better. That's not how you make anything better in that situation. And statistically, this is the thing that bothers me, is that statistically, trans individuals have been responsible for less than 0.1% of mass shootings over the last decade. 0.1%. 97% of mass shooters are cisgender men, meaning men who are hetero and look like they're men who are hetero. And I hate that stat because it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that it's just 0.1%. It doesn't matter that it's 97%. What matters is that it happened and it's tragic and it's horrible. How do we stop this from happening? And my response, I mean, exactly the same reason, you know, you're saying people looking for reasons as to why it happened. When I heard the news, I posted on Blue Sky, heartbreaking news from BC, goddamn guns. And again, my position is just like, I think we're too dumb to have guns. I think there's it's way too much of a liability, way too much of a safety hazard. I remember seeing an ad ages ago, and I'm not turning this into an anti-gun thing, because I know there's reasons, hunting reasons. I think that, you know, police forces need guns. Good guys need guns, I guess you could say, if you want to really overgeneralize it. That doesn't work, by the way. Don't do that. But I remember vividly an ad, I think it was from the U.S., maybe, I can't remember what organization did the ad, but it was, you know, it took so-and-so 6 years to find his dad's gun. And it was about a kid finding his dad's gun and accidentally shooting himself. So I understand the need to try to find a reason why it happened. I hate the attempt to paint a community with the reasons to why it happened, especially when it's not backed up by any data whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think, you know, the night that it was happening, and this is one of the issue with social media is that information floods in, right? There's access and people can post things and people can say things. Really hard to validate a lot of it on social media, especially, you know, as things are emerging. But what we saw was that there were a lot of, I'm going to say it, alt-right, social media influencers. I don't even know what you call them anymore. I call them pariah, but whatever. Posting pictures that were incorrect, making commentary, anti-trans rhetoric, you know, that being trans is a mental illness, all that, excuse me, all that kind of stuff, the use of SSRIs. Like, there was just so much that they were taking from a tragedy that was in play, and using it for a political agenda, right? Or ideological agenda, because, you know, they like to say that, you know, trans is an ideology, but, you know, their ideologies are harmful, right? And so you had some of the big names that were posting things that were just gross. You have Ms. Armstrong posting what she posted. Stockwell Day. And for anyone wondering who the hell Stockwell Day, exactly. posting some pretty disgusting things too. And it just perpetuates misinformation. And in my mind, that whole evening, it just took away from the tragedy and the victims and the families who were suffering, so that these political content creators of the alt-wrong variety could get a gotcha moment. And, you know, that was the grossness of what happened that night, and the subsequent day of these posts of misinformation as if it was fact. I didn't like it. It wasn't unexpected. But you would think that, you know, take a day off. Just take a day off. You don't have to point the finger right now. Just take a day off.
Yeah. And I think it's, I mean, to me, it's very much, I mean, you know, there's discussion of like mental health issues. We're not dealing with mental health. And it's often brought up in American shootings as well, is that it's, we're not dealing with the mental health crisis well enough. You know what? I agree. I entirely agree with that. And I think that America needs to get better. I think Canada needs to get better dealing with mental health and helping people in general. That's not why people, I don't think, shoot other people. I think it might be the reason they might want to. I think what they need to find a way to do that. And I'm trying so hard not to lean into an anti-gun tirade. But I think that, you know, someone had posted in a discussion in a thread on, I think maybe Blue Sky, saying, you know, the perpetrator could have used a knife. Well, kinda, maybe, you know?
Sure.
There's a lot more opportunities to take someone down who's got a knife than there is someone who's got a gun. So it reminds me of Prince Philip, which is a weird thing to pull up out of this. But so anyway, Prince Philip, after the shooting in Dunblane, said, you know, it's not the guns. He could have done as much damage. The shooter could have done as much damage with a cricket bat. It's like, get out of here. Shut your mouth. Sit down. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
And there's this weird perversion, I think, people have to find any other reason other than the guns as an issue. I think all the other problems, mental health, the issues that need to be solved, mental health, economic issues, social issues, all that stuff's valid. All that stuff's stuff we need to fix. None of that stuff turns into gun violence without the guns.
I'm waiting for the commentaries. I mean, like, look, I will always believe that guns kill people.
Yeah.
Guns kill people, right?
Sure.
I think, you know, in a lot of these situations, and I mean, we can go back to Columbine, we can go back to all of them. There were issues with the individuals, period, right?
Sure.
And a lot of times, again, don't know why, when there's certain concerns that people are having, there's a propensity for them to like lean in towards guns and violence, right?
Sure.
That's what the outcome of these situations is, unfortunately. Now, again, we're taking bits and pieces because we don't know everything. You know, we're getting snapshots of information. But was there a history of mental health? Absolutely, right? Mm. Were there guns in the home? There was a history there, right? Is that a cocktail for disaster? Absolutely, right? I mean, yeah, could any individual, you know, enter a school or an office building or what have you with a knife and cause as much damage? Probably not.
Yeah.
Because there's more opportunity to stop the incident. Takes much longer. Proximity is an issue when you're using, you know, anything more handheld than a gun. But it's a combination of things, right? I'm not a gun lover. I'm just not. I don't know why people need them unless you are hunting, right? Like, I really...
Sure.
But I think, you know, the trying to figure out the why of it, right? And the mental health portion of it, and I'm just going to make this clear. Trans individuals are not a mental health issue, okay? And there's a whole bunch of other stuff that goes along with that. From what we've heard, kind of piecing things together, I mean, there's a long history in that home of, you know, seeking assistance with the individual. And whether that was done correctly or incorrectly, whether healthcare is an issue, you know, it pulls in a lot of different things that, again, it was the culmination of everything. But being trans isn't the cause of that. Okay. And so we need to make that very clear, because there are many trans people who live their lives never harming anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is an isolated incident, I'm going to say, of an individual who just happened to be trans.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the media, and even the Edmonton Journal, which is a dish rag right now,
mm-hmm.
Posted something. It was clickbait, right, about the shooter being trans. And it just grosses me out, because never have we ever, in any of the shootings in the U.S., anything that has happened here around the world, have we said it was a cis male shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Maybe we need to start doing that, mm-hmm. and see how that side takes that in. But as you pointed out, the statistics are so incredibly low.
Mm-hmm.
But you see the comments of people saying, you know, it's an epidemic, and it's violence. And people actually believe this because they don't do the research. They don't look into things. And that's harmful. And I don't know what this individual's life was like in a small town in Northern British Columbia. I don't know if a lack of understanding or acceptance was just, you know, one thing that was added into that mix. I did see, for the most part, anybody that was interviewed was very obviously dealing with whatever was happening in the moment, is very overwhelming. But most people were not blaming.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not trying to pinpoint mm-hmm. something, but giving time for the victims. There was one Yahoo that spoke about our ideology of our children. And it's like, that could be your child.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That could be your child. And it just plays into that whole thing that is happening on the other side of politics and policy and people trying to point the blame at people. That it's just, the end of the day, a person woke up and decided to do bad things.
Mm-hmm.
Period. That's it. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to figure out how we, as Canadians, reconcile that. Right?
Yeah, I think we have to figure out how to minimize someone, you know, wakes up that day. We have to figure out ways to minimize and mitigate potential harm that can happen because of waking up that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely, utterly agree with you that we have to be really, really clear at the fact that, you know, someone being trans does not mean they have mental health issues. They're two separate things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just two separate things. They're not correlated at all. And it's frustrating because I think, you know, you're talking about some of the messaging that goes out saying, using this as like a jumping off point for a mm-hmm. stance, saying words like ideology, like that's the reason, which is nonsense. It's so silly and so stupid. And it's this notion that if you can somehow, you know, make people not upset, make people not get to a point where they want to do this, by declaring them safe is nonsense. It always boggles my mind when you do like the mental health checks for gun licensing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like mental health checks. Everybody's crazy. Like, you might not be crazy today, but everyone's gone through phases where I bet you everyone listening to this right now can think of a time in their life when they did something and went, ooh, that was a bit crazy. All right. Let's be aware of that. It's I equate it in the Stupid Apocalypse book. I think I wrote one of the essays saying that, that I don't trust people with guns because if we had a gun in our hand and we stubbed our toe on the coffee table, we mm-hmm. would shoot the coffee table.
Right.
You know, we're just stupid creatures. We're bags of meat and bones that are that are impulsive, and that's it. We're idiots.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think it's dealing with the root of the problem. But again, I'm not going to turn this into an anti-gun tirade. Just know that I think it's the goddamn guns. Just know that. And I don't know what the best ways to deal with that, but we have to do something to figure that out. But all that to say, there's been a little bit of a like that type of blaming trans community and stuff is, and in the light of such a tragedy and such a horrible, horrible thing, is kind of stealing a little bit of the playbook from the U.S. It's stealing a little bit of that sort of right-wing Republican sort of, you know, it's ideological, it's woke culture, it's DEI, which is all that stuff from the U.S. is garbage. Mm-hmm. And I've made the comparison before saying that it's one of the most embarrassing things Canada does is import stuff from the U.S. 6 years behind the schedule, yeah. Like acid wash jeans. It's done. We've worn them. They look terrible. Stop wearing them. So that's one of the things I hate about Canadian traits is that we do that sometimes, and we shouldn't do it. We should be very aware of that. But as I was saying at the top of the show, we as Canadians often talk about how we feel Canada's above it and a bit better than it. So I wanted us to take a look at, and I'm by no means making, you know, light of what's happened, but I also want us to sort of take a good look at ourselves just to make sure that we know what we're dealing with, what's worth defending and what we need to fix, I guess is what I'm after. So I want to answer the question, is Canada better than the USA? Contentious yes. question. Yes, exactly.
There you go.
Episode over. Thanks for showing up, everyone.
There you go. Easy answer.
According to the IMF's World Economic Outlook in January 2026, the U.S. GDP per capita, which is essentially your average annual income, kind of. It's an indicator.
With some other things thrown in.
Yeah. In the U.S. is $92,880 Canadian, while Canada's is $58,240 Canadian. So we're less money. Mm-hmm. We have less money. Jobs, according to Statistics Canada's February 6 report, Canada's unemployment rate is 6.5%, while the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics places the U.S. at 4.4%. So we have a little bit more unemployment. Is that worth the trade? We'll break it down into little mini arguments. Is that extra 40 grand? $30,000?
Well, I mean, you know, when we're looking at things like that, we have to look at, you know, population density and the fact that there are way more billionaires coming out of the U.S. if we're looking at averages than there are in Canada. And there are a lot of other things to take into account, right? For our lifestyle, for the fact, you know, obviously that we have healthcare, mm-hmm. as good as it may or may not be. I think the trade-off is worth it.
Well, speaking of healthcare, according to the Peterson Foundation and OECD 2026 data, the U.S. spends $14,885 per person per year on healthcare, while Canada spends $7,013, which I was shocked at the difference. They pay twice as much.
My question would be, like, what do they consider healthcare, right? Because, yeah.
I'm assuming that's an average based out on, like, people spending money on, like, hip replacements and broken arms and car crashes and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. And I wonder if that's, like, prescription stuff or, like, dental. Like, I wonder what it all...
Yeah, I don't think it includes prescriptions or dental, that type of stuff. It's just, like, going to the doctor type of stuff.
Okay.
Life expectancy. Canadians live on an average of 81.7 years compared to 78.4 years in the U.S., so we live longer.
Because we can afford healthcare.
Seems like preventative medicine might be a good thing.
Right?
Yeah, I think so too. Just to go back to our favorite topic, gun laws. The U.S. gun homicide rate is 6.74 per 100,000 people.
Okay.
Canada's is 0.90 per 100,000. So that's, I mean, it's still too many for me, but
yeah, absolutely.
Those are good numbers for us. Housing costs, of course, people talk about housing costs in Canada. According to the rentals.ca February 2026 report, the average Canadian rent fell to $2,057 a month, which is a 31-month low. But according to CMHC, Canadian Mortgage Housing, whatever it's called, housing starts in Ontario are hitting 20-year lows. So people aren't moving into new homes as much, which makes sense because they're expensive as hell.
Yeah.
So if we look at those numbers, if you're looking at them just statistically and just quantifiably, the numbers, we're essentially tied 3-3.
Okay.
In those things. So we're kind of tied. And interestingly, in the 2026 Leger Year in Review, 83% of Canadians still reported feeling proud. 64% say the past year, so the 2025, challenged their understanding of what it meant to be Canadian. It's interesting.
Well, I think with everything that's happened, right? I think we were just plodding along. Like, we're just, you know, yeah, we live in Canada. It's we wear our maple leaves when we travel. And, you know, like, there's always been that pride.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we ever really had to think about it like we've had to think about it in the last year.
I do think that, you know, that's the one thing that the Trump administration and Trump himself have done for Canada is that it's really kind of, to me, it seems to have solidified a bit more what it means for us as Canadians to be Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
It's made us take a look at what's important to us. And there's there's maybe things we don't agree with across the board. However, in general, I think it's made us look at Canada and go, this is pretty good. Comparatively, it's pretty excellent.
Laughs in separatist Alberta.
Don't even get me started on that.
Don't even get me started on them dopes.
We can do another show episode on that, just making fun of those people.
Can we?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's been interesting the past year that it's really made us kind of look at it. You look at the numbers and none of those, I mean, those numbers, I'm happy with, you know, how relatively inexpensive our healthcare system is, even though it needs lots of work. I think we should probably spend a bit more money on it then.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that, our gun homicides rate is unbelievably lower than the US's. And it's not just to be clarified for anyone struggling with the math. It's not just saying, well, they're 10 times the size. Yeah, this is out of 100,000 people.
Yeah.
6.74 out of 100,000 people died at the hands of guns, while Canada 0.90. It's not even one person per 100,000 rather. But other than that, I'm feeling pretty good about Canada. I think Canada quantifiably seems to kind of be better than the US.
I think it's something that we've always known. We've always sort of, you know, laid our hat on that we are, you know, we're not the US. Even though, like you said, sometimes we're like the younger sibling trying to be the US.
Yeah.
But 6 years later. No, I think that when you really take a look around, and it's not just because we're born here, but like there's, as much as there is a lot of stuff going on, regardless of which province you're looking at, there generally seems to be a serenity to living in Canada, right? Like it's peaceful. And I don't just mean like in terms of violence, but like there's a calmness. There's nothing that would make me want to move or live in the United States, because even in smaller locations, like there's just this frenzy, whether it's the government, whether it's guns, whether it's, you know, I think looking at the lives of Canadians, despite what a lot of separatists want to say, it's pretty good. And if we could focus our energy on making the things that we have that are better than the US even better for Canadians.
Yeah.
Then that's the direction we should be going in, right? Let's stop trying to be just like our big brother down south, literally big brother. Let's just be our own independent person and be proud of the things that we have and that we have to offer, and let's make them better.
So let's take a look at some of the things we think that we can do better in Canada. In light of the fact that we think that Canada is better than the US in general, I feel that the news has shown us, and the politics in Canada have shown us, some of the behavior of people on social media have shown us, that we have to be a bit more vigilant about protecting what we have. You're right. I think like one of the things I really appreciated about the tragedy that came out of the tragedy in Tumbler Ridge was seeing all the federal leaders together and I don't want to believe there's any ulterior motives in that mm-hmm. at all. I think that the impact of it outweighed any potential ulterior motives anyway. I appreciated hearing Blanchette say BC and Quebec have never been closer. It's like, yeah, this is the guy who's in charge of a separatist political party
right
in Canada. And he's like, nope, we're here. We're gonna be helping you out. And there's an image of Prime Minister Carney holding hands with, you know, the other federal leaders as part of the vigil. And it's like, wow, like, I cannot fathom that happening in the U.S.
No.
I can't even remotely, like, you know, you think, no, I mean, they did Hands Across America in 84. So maybe that'd be the, you know, maybe they would do it.
That was in the 1900s.
Exactly. But I just couldn't possibly fathom it. I thought, well, this is an indicator to me that there's some things in Canada that we should fight for. We should make sure that we don't loosen our grip on, and we don't, ignore. If we ignore them, we ignore them at our peril. So one of the things I think we need to take issue with is we have to stamp out stupid stuff. Like MLA Tara Armstrong's post. It's like, nope. You don't get to go after people like this. This is not happening. I don't care what you think of trans people. I don't care what you feel about them. I don't care if it conflicts with your ideology.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't pick a group of people and say they're to blame.
Yep.
It's not how it works.
Nope.
Not in Canada.
Nope. We don't do that here.
Yeah.
No, that should be the standard to which we not even aspire. But
yeah.
That just be the standard, right?
So what are some of the things you think we should be protecting in Canada?
Look, I will. I'm probably never going to say this again. So,
everyone, screenshot.
Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised that Pierre Poilievre chose not to follow or align with a lot of his supporters on social media, and did not point fingers at certain groups that, generally speaking, his party doesn't support. So I will give him credit for that. Although I was a little disappointed because in Parliament, was it that yesterday, day before, I can't remember. Goddamn Jacob Mantle stands up with his child talking about manly fathers, right? Like, anyway, but I'm glad that Pierre didn't participate in that same Tara Armstrong-isms and just kept it to the tragedy and the victims and Canada sort of being united, right? His speech at the vigil, although a little long, I thought he did a good job.
Yep, I agree. I agree 100%.
That tells me, okay, that it is absolutely possible to set aside political differences when we are looking at trying to support, recognize, hopefully at some point assist in an emergent situation, okay? And I feel that that's something political parties are going to disagree. That's part of why they're parties. But when we are talking about big issues, concerning issues, it is okay to set that anger, dislike aside to come together.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're talking about, you know, what do we need to protect in Canada, as it stands right now from the political parties, we need to be protecting Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that respect, as a big ticket item, I think all the political parties, and that starts federally all the way down, need to set aside whatever ideological garbage they all have and come together to protect Canada, because this is the most important thing right now. And once we can agree on that, and I mean protect it from, you know, all the stuff that's happening in the U.S., the infiltration that's happening from the U.S., on social media, certainly, mm-hmm. I would have liked if Pierre had have, you know, kind of spoken out about all the garbage stuff that was being posted, but at least he didn't contribute to it. We can do that. We don't always have to be at odds and have it be a constant battle. We can have one thing that we all agree on and keep that the focus for a little bit. That was evident in the last 3 days, right? It was evident at the vigil. Because I'll quote Pierre, like, there, in this situation, political party goes out the window, that you're all parents, and you know what I mean? Like, that's the common thread.
Yeah.
And I think we need to start looking at more common threads than differences if we're going to build up this country and, you know, protect ourselves from foreign entities trying to break us apart.
Well said. I think that I completely agree with you. I think it is really important, as we say, you know, how do we protect Canada? How do we make Canada better? And I think it's by looking at all those things in these terrible, tragic moments like this, we go, this couldn't really happen in the U.S. And that's, we should pay attention to that fact. We should pay attention to the fact that, and why is it that happening? How does this fit into our image of what Canada is to us? And it's really important for us to protect that. Never mind, of course, as you said, like the, you know, Trump's 51st state talk and all that kind of stuff, and all the real political, economic, tariff-related attacks happening on the country to protect it. But just what does it mean to be Canadian? And how do we protect that and that idea? How do we protect it? How do we keep it strong and keep it, you know, nurtured? And it's important for us to be aware of that kind of stuff. And it's not a case of just dunking on the U.S., but I think in that very sort of younger sibling way, it's about learning from the mistakes of your elders. Mm-hmm. You know, looking at someone who's a little bit ahead of you and going, I don't like when they did that, so I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to learn from that mistake and their mistake, and I'm going to try to make things better and try to avoid that mistake entirely.
Right.
It is, as an aside, though, as you mentioned, you know, Polyev thankfully didn't join the fray. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was commendable. Mm-hmm. But I also thought the bar is so low. The bar is so low. Like, even, you know, I think it was George W. Bush who said, someone challenged him about, you know, saying something about Muslims. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. There's Muslim Americans and they're just Americans. Like, we don't go after Muslims, you know? And that's George W. He did lots of terrible things.
Yeah.
But the bar has been so much lowered since then, which is disappointing. I want to get that bar back up again.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, we've seen, you know, Pierre on the side of highways, and we've seen him with the fuck Trudeau flags and all that stuff like that. So you're right. The bar is low. And so maybe that's why I was pleasantly surprised that I'd sort of anticipated that there would be some sort of like, and this is why, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, sure.
I'm actually surprised Danielle Smith didn't do any of that either. So I'm not going to give him too much credit, but like, that would have been their justification. And maybe it's just that they let their social media minions do it for them. But this will be a moment in time where I will give Pierre Poilievre credit for not sinking lower than what he could have. I'm pretty sure Auntie May would have just smacked him upside the head at that point. So
I think she would have probably tuck him out at the knees at the podium.
Yeah, exactly.
The lectern. Yeah, exactly. It's again, I think we want to just make sure that we're lifting that bar up and making sure that we can use this as a moment to be like, you know what? Let's reset a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Let's look at what we've actually got going for us, all the good stuff. Let's find common threads, as you said. Let's find a way to make things even better than they are for everybody. Because I think that's the goal. I mean, I want everybody across the country to be successful, happy, and healthy. That's the goal. And that involves different things happening at different places at different times. And that's great. That's what we should be working towards. It's not about somebody winning all the time.
Like, you know, disagreeing and debating and all those kinds of things, it's what we do, right? Mm-hmm. But you're right. Like, generally, I just want Canadians to be able to live and You know what I mean? Like, just exist, right?
Yeah.
We're always going to have disagreements, and that's fine. I don't, you know, go around wishing ill will on many people. Because, you know, again, that's your neighbor. It's part of your community, right? And I will give credit to, I'll give credit to EB. I think he handled it very well. You could tell it was impactful for him.
Sure.
The mayor of Templar Ridge, just really calling on people to just let everything else go. Like, just let's focus on what we need to focus on. I'm even going to give credit to the RCMP for never stumbling when they were discussing the assailant, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they just, because it's small town BC, right?
Sure.
So, and I know people were very upset about it. And I'm going to be honest with you. And this, when it first was happening and there was this, the descriptors, instinctively, and I'm sure there are other people out there that felt the same way, I was like, oh, please God, let it be. Right? Because you just knew it was going to be a shitstorm.
Yeah.
And I hate that I had to think that. Right? Yeah. I hate it that I had to cross my fingers and, you know, hope to God that it wasn't. But at the end of the day, again, I don't ever recall anybody calling any other assailant a cisgendered white male, right?
Yeah.
And so maybe this can be used as a turning point that we can just recognize that anybody is possible. Anybody has the possibility of doing bad things.
Sure.
And we need to just focus on that, right?
Yeah. And it sounds, you know, a bit sort of silly and a bit fluffy to say, you know, Canada, we want everyone in Canada to be safe, happy, and healthy and just living their lives. But that's a worthy goal.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems simpler than it should be, but that's it. I mean, that's the whole reason behind, you know, the healthcare system. Is understanding that idea, and I think this is one of the things that's come across in the past few days of watching news coverage of this, is that idea of, like, when society is made better, everybody benefits.
Yeah.
Everybody benefits. My life, if someone helps someone who's, you know, without a home and helps them get organized and stuff, and that affects my life. That's making my life better because society benefits from that, and then I get the benefit of it. And there's ways of just making nicer places to live, right down to the tacky idea that there's more money in the economy. We all get to have more stuff. That's great.
Everything gets sales. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But that idea, it's like the society made better makes it better for everybody because everybody's part of society.
I think it's perfectly good and healthy for us to believe that we all impact our community, and therefore we should all want everybody to be successful, whatever that means, in their community. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I our lovely guest last week,
Eric Hamm. Yeah.
Oh, he's so good. Said that, you know, Americans are generally a me type of person. Whereas I think Canadians generally are an us kind of person. And I think we need to get back to that, right? Because if we've got Quebec saying we've never been closer to BC,
yeah,
what that says to me is that regardless of the dysfunction, we are a family, right? We may have cousins we don't like or talk to very often, but they're still part of the family.
Yeah.
And that's, you don't have to love everybody. You just have to respect people.
Yeah.
And we need to get back to that.
I agree. Well, that's probably a good closing point for us. Thank you, everyone, for watching and or listening to Politics is Broken. Of course, you can find us on your favorite podcast platform. You can find us in the Substack TV app or on Substack.com. You can find us on YouTube as well. We appreciate the comments. We appreciate the paid subscribers who get to comment on Substack and all that kind of stuff, part of the conversation. And we hope you enjoy the show. We hope that if you are a Canadian listening, we hope that you are slightly hopeful coming out of this tragedy, and that we can find ways to make Canada even better. Thanks so much, everyone. Take care of yourselves.
Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Politics is Broken with Brittle Starr and Lisa B. Remember to like, follow, subscribe, and comment. And don't forget to check out riddlestar.com for more.